take notice and observe this tragedy that's just happened, and to learn from it how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God, he says. Words that should make the hair on the back of our necks stand up. Because if you think that the Lord means difficult but still kind of doable, you are dead wrong.
He means impossible. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom, the Lord says. The man last week thought he could keep just kind of going, keeping on, really. Just going down the path that he was going down, and everything was going to be fine. The path that he chose, and that he could still be a follower of Jesus Christ, given that. He thought there were many roads that lead to the same God. He was wrong. And we should mark this exceedingly well, because there are many paths that are literally dead ends. They will kill you. They lead to death, not just bodily death. There are many things that the followers of Jesus Christ simply cannot do. Jesus will not tolerate unrepentant sin in his body. How do we know that? Well, because he's in the business of abolishing sin, of getting rid of it, of taking it into his own body and annihilating it. He is not in the business of turning a blind eye to it as if it's not real and doesn't exist. Always has been and always will be. God's love, his mercy, does not trump, it does not abolish his holiness. The witness of sacred scripture is filled with these same such examples of people who are called away from their way of life, their way of doing things, their way of existing in the world and into the kingdom of God, but they simply could not leave it behind. They were too tied to it. They were chained to it, slaves to the material things of this world. They had allowed too strong a bond to be forged with all of the things in their life that would keep them away from God. They had forgotten just how beautiful he is, how kind and merciful, and that the great treasure that they have, it's him. It's not the rust and moth stuff that we cling to so tightly with clenched fists. Our treasure is Jesus. It's easy to forget that. With everything that's going on in our lives and in this world, it's easy to forget that. Take the wife of Lot, for example. God warned them to flee the cities of Gomorrah and Sodom, lest they die in the coming destruction. He says, don't even look back. Don't even turn around and look at that stuff anymore. Leave it behind, because looking back indicates that you're still tied to it. You still desire it and long for it. Don't even look back. What did Lot's wife do? She hesitated. She thought more about the wealth and the possessions and all of the things that she was leaving behind. She thought more about that than she did of the salvation and the rescue that was right before her. And she turns around and looks at it, and what happened? Poof! A pillar of salt. Beware, my brothers and sisters. Wealth and possessions have a way of shackling us down to the things of this world. They do. They have a way of becoming our God, to the point where we let go of the salvation that God, by his own Son, has set right in front of us. And instead, what do? We chain ourselves to these things these things that are destined to perish, these things that won't last. They can blind us to the truth that God has given us every single thing we have, even the oxygen that even right now we take into our lungs, all that we might trust Him alone. Trust Him to provide everything that we need for this body and this life. All right, so we looked at Lot's wife. Let's move on to King Ahab. Ahab was, if you don't remember, he is the king of Judah. He is not a good guy. He is one of the wicked kings. And he had tremendous wealth, great, great wealth. But rather than being content with all that God had given him, what did he want? He wanted even more. It wasn't enough. His appetite was insatiable. And he plotted against Naboth. Because Naboth had a vineyard that was somewhat desirable to him. He had all of this wealth, all of this land. And still he wanted this one little vineyard. And guess what? He took it. He took it for himself. But he died a horrible death. Remember, this is the king whose blood was licked up by dogs. And so the warning comes to us again to beware. Beware of this kind of stuff. Because wealth and possessions have a way of creating this insatiable desire for more. For more wealth and more possessions. Right, we're talking about this in Bible study this morning. It's not money that's evil. What is it? The love of money. It's your heart longing for more than God would have you to have. They can blind us to the truth, these things. That God has given us everything that we have just so we can learn to be content in His provision. Jesus spoke about a rich man who was clothed in purple and he feasted sumptuously, greatly, every day. But on the way to feasting, what did he do? He passed by a poor beggar who was ill and he had nothing to eat. And every day he passed by the beggar, he never once thought about helping this man out. When he died, he found himself in hell, in great torment, crying out, "Have mercy on me." Beware, you brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus, because wealth and possessions have a way of creating this attitude of arrogance and even judgment about those people that we think are less fortunate than we are. Right? When you pull up off the interstate and there's someone begging there, have you ever thought that you are better than they are? That's what I'm talking about. Wealth and possessions have this way of doing this kind of thing to us, of forming our minds, bending our minds this way. And it's sick. It's wrong. So beware. To where we can find ourselves blinded by the truth that it's God who has given us all that we have. And if we have an abundance, then guess what? He's done so because He trusts us to share it with our neighbor who doesn't have as much as we do. And that's not my teaching. That's the teaching of sacred scripture and the fathers all the way down through the history of the church. The more you've been given, the more is expected of you, Jesus says. If you have two cloaks, what are you to do? You give one to one who has none. That's what you're to do. Out of all of the things that the apostles and the pastors that followed them were called to preach, it seems like the preaching and the teaching of this attachment to the things of this world is one of those ones that kind of gets pushed to the side and ignored because we don't like hearing about this stuff. We don't like hearing about how so deeply we're chained to some of the things that we possess. to where they actually start possessing us. We don't like to hear that stuff. We try to smooth it over, this teaching of the sacred scripture. So it's just, you know, it's a little easier to swallow. Right? It's not so bad a pill to have to take. How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of heaven. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of God. As I said, wealth in and of itself is an evil. It's just that it's so easy for our flesh to worship this stuff, to worship the gifts instead of the giver of those gifts, to have our hearts and minds set on the blessings instead of the one who blesses. You know, the problem isn't that we've just kind of tried faith and found it wanting, but that we've tried mammon, we've tasted mammon, and we found it absolutely seductive and intoxicating and addictive. And as a result, we find following Jesus Christ oftentimes inconvenient. We'd rather chase after the wind, chase after other things. And all of this may raise for you the same question that it did for the apostles. Lord, who then can be saved? Who then can attain the kingdom of heaven? And listen closely to Jesus' answer. With man it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. And therein lies our hope. Therein lies our hope. Our hope is not in the wealth or lack of wealth or any other thing on this earth. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. No other thing, no other God, no other false idol. Only in Him. How we use the wealth and the possessions that God has given us isn't a matter of economics or finance. We like to try to push it down into those categories and make it fit, but it's not. It's a matter of the heart. And don't you ever forget that. It's a matter of the heart. For where your treasure is, Jesus says, there also is your heart. If we're to treat our wealth and our possessions rightly, if they're not going to pull us away from the Lord, like we've seen so many times in Scripture, and even in our own lives with our friends and family too, then we need a clean heart and we need a right spirit. And it's impossible for sinful men and women to clean their own hearts. We know that, right, Lutherans? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's impossible for us to make Jesus Christ and His kingdom the treasure that we set our hearts on. We can't do it. We are too frail. We're too weak. Someone stronger than us, stronger even than the one who holds us captive, has to come to us and set us free. And praise be to God, that man is Jesus Christ. Luther said this in the Small Catechism. He said, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in or come to my Lord Jesus Christ. But with God, all things are possible for me. What's impossible for me, what I can't do, God can and does. What you could not do, He has done through the waters of your baptism, by the power of His own word, when He feeds you His own flesh and blood given and shed for you. He has created in you a clean heart, and He renews you with a right spirit every time you approach Him in penitence. All this to show us that the life lived in Jesus Christ doesn't come by striving or pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. and going harder and harder. It comes only by free falling into the hands of a God who is so merciful and loves you so much that he would give up everything he has because of his love for you. Last week, when Jesus told the rich man, go and sell all that he had and give the proceeds to the poor and come and follow him, that man thought that Jesus was requiring him to pull himself up. He thought that Jesus was asking him to strive for the kingdom, to try to attain it himself. But what the Lord was truly calling him to do was to take his trust, to take his devotion away from all of the garbage and the mess that he put it in and put it where it rightly belongs, on Jesus. And no one else. The one who possessed all the glory and majesty of heaven, but gave it up in one heartbeat. Because his greatest treasure isn't those things. His greatest treasure is you. His heart, the heart of God, is set on you. Don't forget that. The Bible is filled with many people who simply couldn't leave their things, right? They couldn't leave those things behind, their agendas, all their little false gods, and follow Jesus. But there are many, many, many more who have simply left their past behind and followed penitently after Jesus. Because they've fallen in love with him. People like Abraham, like Zacchaeus even, all the apostles and the countless Christians in this age of grace, and even for this preacher, long-winded as he might be, he has long since fallen in love with God for having loved him and given him everything that he could. Even his son, Jesus. He has captured my heart, and he has become my greatest treasure. Here's the point, and I'll be quiet. When you consider all these things in their true perspective, as they truly and really are, when we can kind of wipe the mammon away from our eyes and see without unclouded vision, we can finally see that all of our wealth, all of our possessions, all of our stuff ultimately amounts to nothing, less than nothing, less than nothing, when they're compared to the surpassing greatness and beauty of knowing Christ Jesus, our Lord. In fact, our things may very well, at the end of it, be an impediment for having any relationship with him at all. And so I say to you again, be on guard, beware, and stay alert, my brothers and sisters. See the things of this world for what they truly are. And may God grant it that all would fall in love with him. In the name of Jesus.